morning, everybody. Good morning, friends. Good morning, pinball friends. This is Ian Rodriguez and the Pinball and Cool Stuff Podcast. Another load of cool stuff to update you on here today after a long delay. Things are getting busier as usual, but now that pinball shows are back, we got a lot to talk about. So not only are pinball shows back, but my home invitational tournament happened, and I'll tell you about that as well. So we've had a couple of pinball events in the last 6 weeks, as it were, to talk about today. But let's start here. Let's start at ZapCon. So ZapCon is a pinball and arcade festival in Mesa, Arizona. It's been going on for maybe 6 years. So ZapCon 8.2 happened on, I think it was April 29th. So off we went to Arizona. I had some work to do out there, but so I got kind of hooked up on the mileage to get out there. Then we stayed with some friends, and I went to Mesa on Saturday, April 30th, and Sunday, May 1st. The event was absolutely fantastic. It's the first show that I've been to, a first bona fide pinball show that I've been to since the Museum of Pinball was shut down. So it was really nice to get back to an actual pinball and arcade show. They had a lot of games. So it was at the Convention Center in Mesa. And Mesa, Arizona is a really neat little town if you've never been there. I had never been there. And so I went to Mesa and I thought it was a really cool little spot. It's kind of an old town, not too far from Scottsdale, which was where we were staying. And I had a really, really good time on Saturday. So it was at the Convention Center. It's a really big, gigantic arena, tons of games. There's a lot of people there. They give you these really cool, like, ID cards to carry around your neck instead of like a paper ticket. It's kind of cool. They give you a lanyard. And I bought a weekend pass for $50. So compare that to a Museum of Pinball weekend pass, which cost probably $120. But you get 3 days in that case. But in this case, you get 2 days for $50. I thought it was an absolute deal. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I'll be back next year. I'm just happy that ZapCon is still healthy as an event. It's still going on. It looks like they had a big turnout. Everybody's buying shirts. Everybody's supporting it. And I was really happy with that. As far as the show's concerned, it was pretty incredible. First, they had the pinball and arcade room, of course, a giant floor. And then they had this giant, this convention center's got a bunch of hallways. So you run around these hallways and you find what's next. It's very clean, nice convention center, nice and cool in there too. So they had this gigantic ballroom that was filled with nothing else but couches to sit on and Nintendo and Genesis and old consoles from the 80s and 90s all the way around this room. This room probably had 25 consoles in it and 25 old school TVs and 25 couches that you could sit on and enjoy these games. And I couldn't believe how cool that was. That's a great idea. I mean, it's not a new idea, of course, but it's just a great thing to integrate into your show. And I played a few hours worth of Jackal on the Nintendo Entertainment System there, of course, because I can't go to a show and see an NES and not play Jackal if it's available. That was an absolute thrill. That game also had every cocktail arcade in the show in that room, which I thought was pretty radical. Of course, all the classics, Frogger, Ms. Pac-Man, Centipede, Joust, all the classic cocktails. Absolutely super fun. So that was the console room. So let's go to the pinball. So they had a bunch of dialed in at this show. They had like three or four dialed ins, and everything was kind of for sale, which was weird. It's kind of like a for sale show. Everything on the floor pretty much had a price tag on it and a contact so you can call the guy if you wanted to buy it. Anyway, so as I played Dialed In, let me just tell you my thoughts. And this is old news, I think, but really it's interesting to repeat because now that I played Dialed In a lot at a show with a lot of really good games, I can really compare it. I think that I'll just say this. It's the best layout by a lot by Pat Lawler. And it's better than Wonka for some crucial reasons. It's just set up perfectly. The flow is absolutely amazing. It's quickly becoming my favorite Lawler game, and that's kind of heresy to say because I've got Wonka, but honestly, it's a better layout. It shoots better. It's flowier. It's just plain and simply better as a shot layout is concerned. Wonka is really good, but Dalden's got it. I don't even know if it's close anymore because I really put in at least, I'd say 60 games on Dialed In that weekend. And I had a bunch of games with Lindsay on Sunday, and she said that's her favorite game. And it's top three games ever. It's very, very good. Super fun. So guess what else they had? All right, so they had a Rush. They had three Rushes there, the brand new Stern release. Honestly, when you play this game, you'll see why this is the best game Borg has ever designed. And And I don't even think that's close. It's like Lawler's best game is dialed in. Borg's best game is Rush, and it's not even close. I mean, what would you call his second best game? Metallica? Would you say Tron is? I mean, I don't know. I think Rush is just the best game he's done. It's just incredible the way he built the shots around the pop bumpers, and then he has that stop shot, that dead-end shot, and the middle shot. There's a loop shot with a saucer that stops the ball so you can hit the repeat loop. It's just really, really smart. Let's go over this machine then, because it was my first time seeing one and playing one. The music is absolutely fantastic, as we all knew it would be, so it's kind of not worth repeating again and again. The art, though, is, I don't know, leaves some of us wanting more. The art is kind of hack on the front with the portraits of the band members. I just think it's really, I don't know, a little bit awkward. Kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean by Jersey Jack. Do you really want to see a mascara version of Johnny Depp right in front of you all the time? That's the only reason I never bought that game. I had a chance to buy a standard cabinet. Jersey Jack, Pirates were like, what, brand new from Pinball Star back in the day, and I probably should have because I could have resold it, but I couldn't do it because that freaking portrait of Johnny Depp, man, right in front of you. So this is the same way. There's like that long-haired guy with the mustache, and I don't even know who he is, but I know he's probably the singer. It's just like weird. So the art's kind of whatever, but the layout is absolutely brilliant. It's a better layout than Godzilla, which I played literally right next to this game was a Godzilla. And it was a Pro, and I don't believe they had a Premium there. Maybe they did, but I played the Godzilla Pro, right? And then I played the Rush Pro. And it's maybe, again, heresy to say this, but that's a better design than Godzilla. Maybe it has more to do with the music and the theme integration for me, but when you play the game, you get a better feeling, and that's my humble opinion. I know a lot of people would totally disagree with me on that because they think Godzilla is the best layout ever made. And I can't blame them for believing that and having that opinion because I honestly think it's... That layout is probably top 10 ever made, in my opinion, especially by Element. It's probably his best layout. I think I said that before. It's better than Maiden. But, no, Rush is better than Godzilla. And I think the reason is because there's a lot of, I don't know, the Godzilla has the better ramp returns and a more cool ball path. But Rush has better flow, I think. I think that's the thing. Rush has better flow. I think the shots feel a little bit better. But Godzilla's definitely got the cool, like, ball kinetic directional stuff going on. But Rush, I think that the package that Rush offers is a head and shoulders above Godzilla, especially because I don't like Godzilla theme. So that makes a huge difference in my impression. So yeah, they had like 4 Godzillas at this pinball show, which was awesome. I got to play a bunch of that. They had a Judge Dredd there that was for sale that I really wanted to inquire on. That was a brilliant, beautiful game. It's my first time playing Judge Dredd in a long time since I sold my old Judge Dredd, and every time I play it, I wish I had it still. So that tells you how good of a game that game is. It's really, really a good game. Far ahead of its time for its era of production. I mean, that game was so far ahead of its time. If you go play it and then go play like 2 or 3 other games within 1 or 2 years of the build date of that Judge Dredd, you'll see what I mean. Like, you go 2 years back and 2 years forward from Judge Dredd, and you'll see that game is so far ahead of its time, it's not even funny. And the actual features that they give you in that game for the price that it's at is the most insane bargain you'll ever see in a pinball game. The only reason I sold mine was because I was going to buy, I think it was Wizard of Oz, or no, it might have been the P3, but it's been a while, so I forget. But anyway, I did sell 3 games to buy my P3, as it were. And of course, we all know what happened with that one. The crazy psychopath ex-wife took my game and sold it, but we're not holding grudges, are we? All right, so what happened next? I played Johnny Mnemonic, and that was the first time I played Johnny Mnemonic since I sold my Johnny Mnemonic. So we're doing flashbacks to old games here today. Freaking fun game. I really enjoyed it. Fast and brutal as usual, but a very dark game. That game needs spotlights. Good times, though. All right, so Legends of Valhalla by American Pinball was there. First time playing that, of course. When you see it in person, it's a really, really brilliantly illustrated game. The artwork is perfect. I think it just looks good. It looks perfectly fitting for the theme they wanted. The playfield is also very decorated. It's got the ship, of course, on the right upper side of the playfield, and that weird guy sitting in the middle. I don't know what he represents because I don't know the game well enough, but it's a beautiful game. It's pretty. It's really nice. I thought it would play better than it does because the layout kind of seems like it would shoot really flowy and fast and all that. It does shoot well, but it doesn't shoot as well as like John Borg's games or even Keith Elwin's games. I don't know who designed it. I think it was Riot Pinball designed that game and then sold the design to AP. But in any case, the game is fun. It doesn't shoot as well as a Stern game, or even a Jersey Jack game. Even like Guns N' Roses, for example, I think shoots a little bit better. But it's fun, and the theme is really neat, and it's very violent and cool and masculine, and I love that. It's like that we need more of that in pinball. Enough Spider-Man. How about a little bit more manly theme? And you know, we don't always have to feminize and downgrade these themes. We can let them be what they are, like Gorgar, like Centaur. You know, these straight up gnarly themes. I think it's great. More of that. And let's moderate it with some other stuff too. All right, so we played Legends Oktoberfest. So I hadn't played a lot of Oktoberfest, and I should have bought this game when I had the chance, but I didn't. It was like $6,000, and I should have bought it. But anyway, so I played Oktoberfest for the first time at length in my pinball career, and that game is absolutely insanely fun. And I really should have bought it. I got good at it in a matter of like 3 or 4 games. I finally kind of got good at the shots. And once you get good at the shots of that game is stinking amazing. It's really cool. It's kind of like Houdini, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But so Oktoberfest, you have to kind of zero the shots in before you can really enjoy it. I guess it's like a lot of games where it's awkward and weird at first, and it feels clunky. But once you understand the range and the angles of these shots and the timing of them off each flipper, you can really wreck it and have a really good time. So, yeah, I was doing the keg barrel lock over and over. It was just absolutely brilliant. The game was a lot of fun. I loaded the roller coaster like 4 times in like 3 games. It was freaking cool. And of course, the roller coaster is like the main thing on that game, where you load the balls up the very steep ramp on the left, and they load up into the roller coaster cart in the top back panel there in the center, 3 balls, and then they release them one at a time down that roller coaster ramp. It's a brilliant visual. It's perfectly executed by AP. That's their best game, in my humble opinion. Hot Wheels would be a very close second. But yeah, Oktoberfest was a blast. I got a score on there. I might have gotten number 1 score, but I didn't GC it. But I still had an absolutely amazing time. I had like a 30-minute game on Oktoberfest. So absolutely a brilliant, underrated game. Hot Wheels, same deal. Very fun game right next to Oktoberfest there. Brilliant game, underrated. If it's set up right, that game is a thrill. It's really fun to play. I don't know. There's a lot to it that people don't appreciate. I think it just... it's perfectly pinball. It's kind of like, make a game that's fun, make a game that has really pretty colors and nice art and brilliant lights, and that game has all of that. And the theme is fun, it's not too serious, and it shouldn't be, because it's pinball, it's for fun. All right, so I played Halloween again. The first time I played Halloween, I can't remember where I was, but I played Halloween somewhere, and it wasn't fun, and I played it again at ZapCon, and it wasn't fun. So there I go. with my review of Halloween. I said this from the beginning. I said those 3 inline scoops on the left-hand side of the playfield are going to make for a boring, repetitive experience. And sure enough, those 3 scoops in line on the left-hand side of the playfield make for a boring playfield experience. And that's a disappointment, because they really could have done something better there. That's a lot of real estate they committed to 3 scoops in the shrubs or whatever it is. So yeah, they had an Ultraman there, but I didn't get a chance to play it, nor did I really feel like playing it. Because after I played Halloween, I was pretty good. I was fine for the day. I didn't need any more of that, you know. So what was next? So it's funny when you're playing these newer games. I noticed as I went on in this festival playing new and old games, I noticed that when you're playing new games, it makes the 80s and 90s games feel very shallow. And so you get decent at pinball and you start to chop these games up and wreck them, you start to realize that there's a lot of fun to be had in the old games, but they can't keep your attention as long, because you're advancing beyond them. Not that you're beating the game, it's just that you seem to be doing the same 3 or 4 things all the time. And this is not some novel take of mine. It's funny, when you go to a show, you can put the game side by side and play a 90s game and then play a 2010 game or a 2020 game, and you can... It's night and day, and it really, like, you can play Godzilla for an hour, and you can play, let's say, like, Funhouse for, like, 30 minutes, maybe? I mean, I don't know, Funhouse is a great, what is that, 1990 title, but let's do a better example, like, 1994, even, like, Johnny Mnemonic. You can play Johnny Mnemonic for 15 minutes, and you've had your fill. You can play Godzilla for, like, 30 minutes, and you're still kind of wanting more. I just feel like every game's so much different with these new games, and again, that's not a new take, but It's amazing how easy it is to recognize that when you go to a show and play these games side by side and have that experience. So what are my overall thoughts about ZapCon? I'll go back. It's amazing. It's fun. I'm glad they're doing it. It got really crowded, so it's obvious that the populace there is wanting that. And it's a brilliant show, and I can't wait to go back. And it's the closest show to me down here in Southern California, so it'll be an easy trip every year. I will buy my tickets and see you there. All right, so what happened? So last weekend we did the Boss Hog Invitational, which was the first inaugural tournament here at my house, and hopefully it'll be somewhere else next year, but we'll help organize it. So we did, we had 11 games on the floor in my house. We had a bunch of people over. We had 13 competition players, and we played a fun, round robin? I guess we kind of played a round robin tournament, but it was match play, and we had a really good time playing four-player games all day. We had, Houdini, Munsters, those two games I borrowed, Swords of Fury and Torpedo Alley were borrowed, and the rest of the games were mine. It was Roadshow, Iron Maiden, Wonka, GNR, Xenon, Corvette, Monopoly. Really fun lineup, and everybody really had a good time. We made a bunch of food, and it was my first effort to kind of get a tournament going that wasn't a Papa tournament and wasn't about rankings and players like that. This was a tournament that I wanted to hold, and I hope other people will host. But again, I'd be happy to help them. And the idea was, our idea was this. Let's create a tournament where players who aren't tournament players want to come play and compete and just have one good fun day. And that's exactly how it went. Everybody who came, except for maybe one, had probably never played in a tournament. And I know I played in a tournament, and another player, a friend of mine, had as well. But I think the remainder of them had never played in a tournament. So that's kind of a good, I guess, indication of what we had out there, and it was a fun time, and it actually was pretty competitive. So to keep things even and not boot anybody out too soon, we kept the seeds together. So the first two players who won in a bracket of four would play the winners of the other bracket. So 1-2, 1-2, and then 3-4, 3-4 in the following group. It was a good way to keep people in. We made a bunch of prizes, made beautiful posters, my buddy Nick helped print those. Lindsay designed them. We did stickers. Spent a lot of money on t-shirts and stuff like that too, and we sold them and tried to raise some money to pay for the tournament and all the stuff that we had to buy, but it was absolutely amazing. You know, I'll do it again next year. It was a lot of work. I'm glad it's over, and I'm glad it happened, and hopefully next year we'll have a bigger turnout so we can have a bigger event. I think it's possible. So what's next? So speaking of Rush, so okay, Boss Hog Invitational. So this is a surprise, and it was a surprise to me, but I knew after the Boss Hog Invitational was over, I was going to sell my Corvette game. So as I come to sell my Corvette game, I'm listing the game, and I think, well, what am I going to buy? So I'm looking online, and I see, like, a couple games I like. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe we'll buy a World Cup Soccer for $4,000, and this guy wanted to sell me one for $4,000. And then I'm like, well, $4,000, well, I could probably sell Corvette for more than that. Maybe what's the difference if I buy a new game? And so, as you may well know, the Stern Pros are $6,700 right now, right? JJP standards are going to run you at least $75, probably $85, right? So $85, so that's coming up the price line. The new CGC games, Chicago Gaming, are going to be, I think they're $8,600 starting. I could be wrong, but they don't sell classics anymore, so I think that their starting is $85 or $86. So they're still higher than Stern. I'm not interested in American Pinball's latest title, although I think they're selling their games for $85. And then JJP, which doesn't have a new game out right now, I already mentioned them. So Spooky, sorry, let's go back. $8,000, I'd say maybe $9,000 to get yourself a game, which I would never want anyway, because none of their games have staying power in my home collection if I'm a buyer. So that's where we are, right? So their lowest priced game for a brand new in-box game will be Stern, a pro at $6,700. So I'm like, well, shoot, do I really want to get a Rush pinball? And I kept thinking about it. I'm like, I could spend $5,000 on another game. Or whatever, buy two games for $5,000. I don't know. Probably not two games for five. Or just pull the trigger and buy a Rush and kind of come up with the money somehow to figure out the difference between Corvette and Rush. So that's what I did. So I ordered a Rush Pro delivered. And hopefully it'll be delivered in June. I got a great distributor out in Florida. And I'm really excited because that was the best game at the show that I played besides Dialed In. and I knew I wasn't going to buy Dialed In because I didn't want to spend $8,000 on a game right now. It's just, I guess, a mental thing. But anyway, that's how it went. So I'm excited. We got Rush Pro coming. I cannot wait to see it, to play it. It was the best game besides Dialed In at the show, in my opinion, and it just played so well, and I cannot wait to set it up. And the more you play pinball and understand what you like the best, the more you realize that if you're a music person, music pins are always a good idea. And I'm a big time music person. There's always music playing in my house. There's always music playing in my podcast. There's always music playing at work. There's always music playing when I'm doing a garage crap or working on projects. There's always music. So I'm naturally a music pinball consumer, and one more could never hurt. So I'm super pumped. Borg's best layout by far. I've had his games. I like them. And I really love this one. I can't believe it's coming. So I'm very excited. You know, here's another topic to entertain. So I played Cactus Canyon Remake at the ZapCon show. And it was fun, all right? It's a fun game. And it's, again, brand new, I think, 8600. You cannot buy a classic. They don't make them. So you start at 86 and you go up to an LE for whatever, 20,000 or whatever they're charging. Doesn't really matter. But Rush is so much of a better game than Cactus Canyon Remake. And I'll tell you why. It's still a 90s game, and I just mentioned this. 2020s games are better. The layout of Cactus is really fun and cool, and okay, good. It's a 90s game. It's fun. But the layout of Rush is 100 times better, number one. The music is 1,000 times better. The art is not better, okay? So Cactus has it beat on art because it's a John Yossi piece, and it's brilliant. Plus, Franchi did the upgrades on the art package for that game, so that's cool. But it's just so much more game for less money. I mean, for less than $7,000, you're getting into a Stern Rush Pro Pinball. And for more than $8,000, you're getting into a Cactus Canyon Remake. That's like half the game experience. It's nowhere near a value decision there. That's not even a value judgment you need to make. You're getting 5 times the game for less money. The choice is obvious, everybody. Run out and get yourself a Rush Pro today. Call what's-his-name over at what's-its-place. Anyway, that's my kind of closing remarks. I think what I came to believe at this point was Cactus Canyon was a representation or an indicator to me that CGC does not have a sustainable model if they intend to keep building remakes. And I think it's because the price point should be lower, but it's not. So their R&D costs nothing. They just do some new code and then they send the game out. So why the hell is it not lower? Why wouldn't it be $1,000 lower per game at least, in light of the fact they didn't have to design the game? I've always said this, but I'll say it again. It's kind of a ripoff. So you're getting an old game and with half the features and half the code for more money than a Stern Pro and probably a used Jersey Jack, if that's how you're going to go about it. And I just think it's kind of a, I don't know, kind of a racket. When I bought Monster Bash, I bought it because it was my birthday, I think, and I had some extra money from selling Metallica or something. And so I'm like, whatever, let's just do it. And it was good because it got me a trade with a Waz Emerald City. But anyway, I guess what I think is they're not going to be able to keep doing this. I mean, if they do Toten, it's going to kill and they're going to sell a million of them. But after that, Theater Magic, great. Okay, what's next? I don't know. I don't know if you can keep asking more money for games that may grow old after, you know, 6 months. But maybe Toten will change the world and it'll change my mind about even that. Maybe Toten will be the reason why CGC keeps doing this. And Theater Magic happens after that, but I don't know. I'm speculating a lot here, but I'm kind of skeptical that they can sustain it, only because the code is so thin and the layout's never going to change. So, and why aren't they giving us a little bit of a break on the price there? All right, those are questions for a later day and a later time. Thank you for joining me, everybody. This has been the Pinball and Cool Stuff podcast, and I appreciate you joining us today. God bless.